So, I've got Rick Witter in the studio with me of Shed 7, York's very own.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Hello, Wayne. Here. How are you? Are you good?
Yeah, great to meet you. Good. And, of course, we've got the wonderful Rowetta, formerly of the Mondays.
Yeah, well, still in the Mondays.
Oh, I thought you were actually... Right, we'll come to you in a minute, because I know you're doing other stuff as well, aren't you?
Yes.
Rowetta. But we'll come to that in a second. And you're looking wonderful, by the way, in that hat that you've got on.
Thank you.
Absolutely stunning. Rick, my goodness. You know, I'm older than you, so I can say you're 51 on the 23rd of November.
I am. It's soon approaching.
And the reason I know it is because it's my birthday day after.
Oh, so you share a birthday with my wife then? She's the 24th.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, but she's younger than you too.
Can you tell? And I've just had one of them jobs done. Anyway, listen, it's all getting very exciting for Shed 7 at the moment, isn't it?
Mm.
Because, you know, after quite a while, you've releasing another album on the 12th of January.
It's the 5th. We've brought it forward a week. So because we didn't think it'd be ready in time. So it was planned for the 12th, but we've managed to make it so that we can bring it forward a week because lots of people are pre-ordering it now. So
yes.
They're buying it now and they're having
right.
to wait for a long
right.
time
so
to actually
not?
Receive it. So if we can bring it forward anyway, possibly, then we're going to do that so that people get it. So it's a bit nearer to Christmas and the New Year treat for them. The first week of January, very boring.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly here we are.
Just a matter of time.
It's a matter of time.
That's
exactly
what it's
that.
Called.
Exactly.
Of course, what you seem to be doing is you're picking off some of the, what you call lead songs from the album.
Yeah, so what would ordinarily be called a single isn't so much anymore. Obviously, the little nuggets of what's to come, I guess, is what they've become these days.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's not like you release a single and you hope it to chart high and stuff. It's basically warning people of what's to come, basically. So the little Easter eggs.
So is this the third one that you've released, that you're going to be releasing?
Yes.
This latest
yes,
one?
Yes, this is the third brand new song off our new album featuring Rowetta, who
yes.
I'm sure you're going to speak to in a minute.
Of course. In Ecstasy, it's
in
called,
Ecstasy,
isn't it?
In Ecstasy, yes. And it's very vibrant, very cool. You know, it's the first three we've released are quite full-on, dancey
yes.
kind of sing-alongy songs.
Yes.
But the album's got a lot going for it. There's lots of different things happening within.
So, Rowetta, when this song was being written, immediately Rick thought about you. Why is that,
yeah,
do you think?
But I can see why it did, because as yeah. soon as I heard it and started singing along, it was just perfect. It's not every song is. I get sent a lot of songs, and most of them I don't sing with. I don't sing on a lot of bands' singles. I don't feel the tune, but this one immediately, it was everything I love about a song. It had great melody, great lyrics, and beautiful to sing. I mean, I love singing it. My perfect key. It was just perfect for me, and I know the lads from 99.
Right.
So I've always been with them. I love them. They've never changed. So, you know, just perfect.
I mean, they are deep in their roots, aren't they? I think that's the one thing you've got to say about Shed 7. No doubt about that. And what's interesting, Rowetta, is, and I know you know this, but it only took 9 months to write this one. Am I right?
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround this time, which is quite unheard of for Shed 7, really. It usually takes us a lot longer to finish the process of writing.
You had what's called a purple patch.
I think we did,
yes.
So we started writing it in March 2022 and finished it pretty much by Christmas time. And everything we were doing just seemed to work. And it was a pleasure to be involved in that situation.
Do you think anything... do you think being in Spain helped?
Well, we went to Spain after we'd written it.
Oh.
We went to Spain to record it
right,
this February,
right.
just gone. So we spent most of last year at home. And most, you know, in this day and age, you do most things remotely. So, you know, Paul, the guitarist, would send me a guitar idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would be at home and I'd listen to it via an email or a text or however he sent it to me. And then I'd work out some melodies and lyrics at home, and then we'd perhaps get together at either of our houses and bash it into some type of shape. But with the song In Ecstasy that Rowetta's on, when Paul sent me the original guitar hook, I immediately came out with this melody, and I'm kind of sat there thinking, this just sounds like what Rowetta would do. It's got Rowetta written all over it, the melody that's in my head. So I kind of persevered with it, started writing some lyrics, and came up with the main chorus hook, "Stand with me in ecstasy, cover me in ecstasy," singing the melody that I've got in my head with that. And I just thought, this is just so Rowetta, the words, the melody, everything. So I reached out to her and asked her if she'd fancy listening to the idea, and thankfully she did. And then she came back saying she loves it and she'd love to be part of it, which is amazing. And now the end product is pretty much exactly how I envisaged it way back when.
Fantastic. Rowetta, are you approached very often? You know, to do sort of the, let me say, collaborations. Are you approached very often for that sort of thing?
Daily, really, because I do house music as well, but a lot of new bands, they think I can turn them into the next big thing by doing a step on, which was a cover anyway. But I just don't. I've never sung on everybody's records when I'm asked.
No.
I'm not like a vocal, I don't know what the word is, prostitute, but I won't sell myself.
Well, I wouldn't have said that, of course.
No, I was
and neither would Rick, as a gentleman.
No, but I won't just give my voice out for money or anything else or because the band's paid. I would only do it if I loved this song. I've turned down so many.
You have to respect your asset. Seriously. Yeah, I mean,
some people would think I'm stupid. What Time Is Love by KLF was number one for 9 weeks. I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I said no, because that's what I'm like. If I don't feel it and I don't like it, I've always been like that. I'll probably never be a billionaire because of it, but I don't care.
You're really true to yourself. That's the thing, isn't it?
I like to have to be proud of what I've done. And hopefully, and songs like this will last for years. I know they will. So most of the songs that I sing, they sound great years later. And this isn't one of those. I think in 30 years, young kids will still be playing it.
Rick, A Matter of Time is being released. You said now the revised date is the 5th of January. Mm. 30 years since the first album.
I know. And
I can't believe it.
Well, the timing of this is perfect because, yes, next year we're going to be really busy celebrating 30 years of releases. But what a way to start the year. The very first week of our 30th anniversary year, we're releasing brand new songs. So that's a great way to start the year. And we're going to be very, very busy throughout next year. We're drip-feeding info at the minute because there's lots to announce and we don't want to have an avalanche of news, you know, so we're kind of drip feeding announcements, releasing these new songs to the public, and it's going down amazingly well. Lots of love online for us. So just keep your eye on social media posts by us because it's a weekly occurrence at the minute. We're doing this and we're doing this. And there is big news for York, seeing as we're sat in York.
Of course.
There is a big announcement coming at the end of this month regarding next year and our lovely hometown.
You can't seep it out. No,
I can't really give too much away right now, but it involves Shed 7 and York.
My auntie lives in York and my cousins, so I'm really excited. Bramble Dean, my auntie Elaine, everybody.
You'll have to come over, Rowetta, won't you, whenever
absolutely.
This is happening?
I used to spend my whole summers there as a kid, so yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd love to come over for those, definitely. And the album, A Matter of Time, is released on my birthday, January the 5th.
You see.
There you go.
This is it. It's all that.
It's all aligned.
It's all aligned.
It is. The stars have aligned, quite literally.
Oh, that's amazing. Listen, going a little bit off piece, because you've been involved in this a little bit recently, right? They call it gig etiquette, right? Something that's been going slightly wrong recently, where people are taking advantage of artists on the stage, although I do know you did pour some beer over somebody's head once, Rick, in retaliation, quite rightly, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I'm doing a job of work at the end of the day, and this particular occasion, we'd played two nights in the same venue. Both of them were sold out. One was a Saturday, one was a Sunday. So the Saturday gig in this room, everyone's a bit raucous. It's Saturday, you know, they can have a lie-in tomorrow. We did the same gig, the same amount of people the following day on the Sunday, and it was a more relaxed crowd.
Yeah.
So there was no one throwing things around. But then about five or six songs in, I'm singing a slow song, and I got clunked on the head with a pint, which soaked me. I had my eyes shut singing this slow song. And the more I was singing the song, I was thinking, well, you know,
People listening to that song, though, who will be receiving it differently to what that Charlie did.
Well, so I'm thinking, well, you're the only person throwing anything out of 3,000 people here.
Yeah.
So at the end of the song, I thought, I'm just going to find out who did this. So I asked the crowd who threw that at me, and somebody put their hand up, which I thought was quite a brave move in itself. So I got the security to find him in the crowd and bring him to the front, and he stood in the pit bit, which is where the security stands in front of the stage.
Yes.
And I asked him, why did you do that? And he didn't really have an answer. He was all full of apologies. And so I said to him, what do you do for a job? And he said, I work in an office.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said to him, well, how would you like it if I walked in tomorrow afternoon to your office and just threw a pint over you?
Yeah.
And he said, I wouldn't like that. So my only way of getting out of the situation was to throw my pint over him.
Yes.
Which got the biggest
cheer.
But
not
the
glass,
of
course.
No, no, no. Just, I kept the glass in my hand.
The beer.
Which was better than him. So
correct.
I'm a better man than him. Yeah. But, yeah, I just thought, you know, that got the biggest cheer of the night.
Well, absolutely. But you've been involved in this with Lucy May Walker, haven't you, Roetta, this subject?
Oh, she's had enough publicity, really. She gets 30 people at her gigs. What she did was she did this very, very naggy speech, a video of herself, and I was asked to go and debate it, do a heated debate. I took it very lightheartedly. Right. She sticks up posters, tells people they can't sing along, basically can't talk during a gig. This gig etiquette where everybody knows how they should behave at a gig. But if you can't keep 30 people quiet for some of your sets, she said they talk all the way through, but there's only 20 or 30 people there.
Yeah.
And she has to put rules up and they've paid money to see her. I just thought that was a bit silly. She's in the wrong game. Of course people are going to talk sometimes. There's gig etiquette, there's being violent, there's being very, very disruptive, there's throwing pints at bands. That's different. She was saying you can't even sing along unless she tells you to. And that was like being, you know, a teacher or a prison officer. That's not about entertainment.
No.
If you can't stand people, I mean, I've done work in men's clubs where people will get up and buy sandwiches while I'm singing or go and buy bingo tickets. That's life, and it's how you learn your trade, and it's how you learn to, you know, if you can't control an audience, how rubbish must she be?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, listen, I mean, I do agree with you, to be quite frank. I mean, you know, I don't think it's fair to throw things at people. That is absolutely out of order. But you can't.
That's
everybody's in their leisure time, aren't they? They're having fun. It's meant to be that way. But listen,
gigs now, it's all changed. You do what you want if you pay a load of money to come and see us. You
yes.
can film us. You can talk. It's when you're disruptive and you spoil it for other people. But obviously, that's wrong and you should be thrown out.
Rick, thank you for that, Roetta, by the way.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I didn't mind your little rant, darling. Rick, what is success, right? We see so many things now since you started. We've got things like X Factor and This Factor and whatever. We have all seen celebrities, if you want, come in and go. It seems to me when you're on a show like X Factor, you go up quick because of the profile. You're on telly every week and then often, not always, you drop quick.
Mm.
Whereas you, as a band, have longevity. You could be the next Rolling Stones, couldn't you?
Well, I think we're going down that path, to be honest. I'm just hopeful that in 30 years we'll still be here doing this. And I think we probably will.
But you've got young people. I mean, we've got a young lady in the back office here, our Elizabeth, right? She's only a youngster, but she's a Shed 7 fan because they've listened to the music from their parents.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think we've always stuck to our guns and we've followed our own path. And fortunately, and luckily, some might say, it's working for us. And I say working, not worked, because it is an ongoing process.
Yes.
We've always thought about what we should do. Mm. You know, obviously we've made mistakes over the years and mistakes are good because you learn from them and you move on.
Mm.
But yeah, to still be here, I mean, we formed 1990, so it's 33 years ago, you know.
Where's the time gone?
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? And even before that, we were in school bands, the same guys, but just a different band name, you know, doing covers of House Martin songs in pubs when we were 14. You know, it's just something we've always wanted and always absolutely loved doing. So, yes, you might have the odd... It's a job, so... You're always going to be confronted with problems and issues.
Yes.
And even within the band, it is like a marriage. You know, you have to...
You have your days, do you?
Of course, everybody does in whatever line of job they do. But when you're creating something and you're together as a unit doing that, that's something that stays forever.
Yeah.
Which
Never
is why some artists call their songs children, because it is a little bit like you've come together and you've created something and then you get an amazing bit of help from somebody like Roetta, who we invite in and she loves it, and then she's ad-libbing and adding bits to the pot and it just creates this one whole, and we're creating a monster.
So going back to the X Factor remark that I made a few minutes ago, is it talent that you need, or do you just need to be somebody who's persistent?
There's a lot of being in the right place at the right time. I mean, even us, it was a bit like that. We were a band who would play in York a lot, and then we'd branch out and start playing in Leeds, and then you get a little bit of a break, and suddenly you're playing in London, which involves a minibus, and you've got a snare drum on your lap, and it's right down the M1. It takes 5 hours to get there. You turn up, you set up your equipment, nobody's bothered, there's about three people in the room, and then you pack everything up and drive home again.
Yes.
That's the point at which you think, right, do I really love this?
Yes.
Which we did and persisted on doing that time and time again. But then you get the lucky break because somebody in that room who just happens to be in there likes it and tells their mate or the person they work with, and then they spread the word, and slowly you start getting a little bit of a name for yourself. It's just the passion, the drive, and being somewhere where somebody might be there to hear you. Whereas the X Factor and programmes like that, you know, it's a different beast. It's a different ball game, totally. You know, I mean, you could have the best talent in the world and never be noticed.
There you go. Yeah. Listen, just as an Reuter. Go.
I think you know I've done the X Factor because you keep saying it. About 20 years ago, I did. I was in the first year. I was a top lady in the X Factor. I don't talk about it very often, but in reality, I'm very proud to have become the top lady singing songs that aren't really my cup of tea, you know, to a different kind of audience, for my grandma to do so well. I'm really proud of that in the very first
Well, I'm sure you are, and quite rightly so.
Not really my cup of tea, and it was a real challenge. And to get away from that tag of being the X Factor is really hard. It can take years.
Yes.
So I'm glad that I've been able to be cool again, you know.
And I didn't raise it for that reason, Roetta. I promise you.
Well, what we should do is me and Roetta should go on some type of celebrity show. But it should be, like we were discussing this earlier, it should be like a holiday show where we just get a nice free holiday and get filmed every now and again, just relaxing and chilling.
You only film you for an hour each day.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, well, why not? You've already talked about that, haven't you? You know, seriously, you've managed to sustain yourself for all these years. Presumably, you've never had to have a secondary job as such throughout the period of time. Has there ever been a period when you've thought, I might have to get a job? Because there was a long period, there was a gap, wasn't there? A big gap.
There was a terrible time of my life, yes. Probably around about 2004. So we kind of decided to call it a day for a while with no kind of plan of action for the future. And then my relationship broke down, so I had no band, no partner, three very young children. I couldn't drive, and I literally had a few pounds in my bank, which is, a lot of people would think that I'm some type of millionaire, but the truth couldn't be further.
My guess is you've never forgotten that, and therefore are you more careful these days, make hay whilst the sun shines?
Well, this is it, yes. So I find myself in the position now where I'm 50, and, you know, we are kind of here, we're doing really well for ourselves, but it makes me appreciate it a lot more. But age does that to you anyway, because we're not getting any younger. We don't know how long's left. So yes, appreciate it and absolutely grab it with both hands while you can.
Would you agree with that, Roetta?
Absolutely. I mean, when I started with the Mondays, I was in a battered wives' home, a women's aid refuge for 5 months, and I'd left everything I'd got in Bury, where I'm from. So started with nothing. So I know I can live on nothing with young children. So it's meant I've always just done music, and I've been really had no money and had to borrow off my mum. I've never gone to get a job because I've always had a singing job come in. So I would have had to have a day off. So I've stuck with it. But I've sometimes, you know, not been able to pay my bills and had to borrow off my mum. My mum's really come in handy, but I've just taken bank loans and all that lot. But I've never done it for money. I've always just because I love the music. And then eventually something's always worked out. And now I'm doing better than ever because I just work really, really hard and make sure that when my name or my voice is sampled, that I get something for it because it gets sampled a lot and I used to get nothing for that.
But there's also wisdom, isn't there? Added wisdom.
I live on nothing as long as I'm doing what I love. I love music.
Mm. I mean, not everybody makes it in the world of music, do they, at all? I mean, I had an Uncle Derek from Acombe, right? And by day was a joiner, right? And then he made this album called Three Little Pigs. It was an album of romantic songs. And I know. And he did what you do. And he let one go every few days. I mean, a song.
Yeah, I was gonna question exactly what he was letting go of.
And they just went to the bottom. If it was a birdcage, it would have been on sandpaper.
Right.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
And he did that for over a few years, and he never made it. Now, sadly, he's passed away, Uncle Derek. What advice would you have given him if we're still alive, either of you?
I'd say stagger his releases a little bit more. Have a little bit more of a gap in between releases.
Yeah. He did try his best, Rowetta.
I know, well, my son's called Derek, so I'm going to watch what I say. But I
would, oh,
the music world has changed completely now, and I think it's completely different. But if you love it, it depends why you're doing it. If you're doing it to make money, you might be in the wrong game because it's not guaranteed. Everybody does think you've made millions if you're on Top of the Pops or you've had a number one album. It doesn't work like that. You know, a lot of people come and go and fail. We just work because we love it, you know, and we want it to make the best product we can. And then when you do something brilliant like we've done with this single, you're just really, really proud of it and try not to bring out anything or do any gigs that you don't really want to do. And we're in a lucky position now that we can do really what we want to do, you know, and doing what we love. But it's taken years to get to here, and the same I'm sure for Rick, you know, where we have got this confidence that we can try new things and be comfortable on stage, that when people come and see us at a gig, it's going to be brilliant, you know, and if you buy our records, you know, it's going to be good because people put faith in us. But it's taken years.
Rowetta, age-old problem is everybody else makes money out of us.
I know.
Everybody else.
They take the lion's share.
Everybody else.
It gets you, but eventually you go, hold on a minute.
How do you get round that eventually when you've been round clock a few
times? I don't have a manager, but, you know, I would do better if I had a manager, but then I don't want a manager.
I mean, you've been round clock a few times now, Rick. What do you do?
Well, there's not much you can do, really. You've just got to budget yourself a little bit better and take a little bit more charge over the purse strings, but there's only so much of that you can do. You know, I mean, God knows how much we've lost in the 90s through negligence. God knows. And that's not accusing anybody in particular.
No.
It's the whole industry.
So you were a band.
Yeah, that's true, everybody.
You were a band, and all you were interested was making good music, right? Mm. So when the money was coming in, et cetera, and all this and that, you probably weren't taking much notice of it.
Well, of course, I don't think young bands.
Because you're creatives.
And, well, the young bands, they're just thinking, we're being played on the radio. That's brilliant. Yeah. We're on Top of the Pops. That's brilliant. We've just sold out that gig. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about, you know, important things like paying your mortgage or buying your mum a birthday present.
No.
Older artists, they're just glad to be working and stuff, and they think they take all the help they can. And other people, they're just thinking about your money and what they can make out of you, you know, and it's sad, but that's
because they've got a plan, you see. They've got a plan.
You've got to start haggling, haven't you? That's the thing. If you start going down the route of using people for whatever reason, if it's producing, engineering, you know, promoting, anything, you know, you've just got to, with age becomes a little bit of experience, but you've got to haggle and come to some type of happy medium, I guess.
You have to manage yourself in a way, even if you've got to manage, and you've got to ask for legal advice, ask an accountant. You do have to be professional about it all, really. Treat it like a business, but it's hard.
Yeah.
So, right. Best of luck, Rick, certainly with the album, A Matter of Time.
Thank you.
And the best of luck, the two of you, for an ecstasy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And it's lovely to meet both of you.
Thanks for joining us here at Y1 Radio.
Oh, one question I need to ask you, Rick, because you do live in York. Mm. There's a couple of shops in York called the York Rose Co. where they sell these Yorkie Pud wraps.
Oh, yes.
Do you know them?
Absolutely delicious. So there's one at the top of Gudrun Gate, isn't there?
Yes.
Yes, so every time I walk past that.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I love your puddings and you've got stuff in them. Do you have Sunday dinner?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Have you had one, Rowetta?
Yeah, but I've been out with someone from Yorkshire once, not long ago.
Well, I'll pass that on to Gaffer there, all right?
Yes, please do, because they are amazing and there's always a massive queue.